Herbalism is based on relationship. Relationship between plant and human, plant and planet, human and planet. Wendell Berry.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome to our show. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. My favorite oils this week, plural, is a combination, a very practical, you've probably seen it around a lot, blend of oils that we lovingly call LLP, lemon, lavender, peppermint. The LLP blend, I think, is probably one of the most powerful and versatile blends of essential oils that you can use on a daily basis, especially this time of year as we transition into full-blown spring. I often have a really hard time with that transitional change. You could probably hear it a little in my nose. There it is. So I like to consume, I like to ingest these personally because I feel like it's just easier for me to maintain that steady flow of oil in my body throughout the day when I'm really needing that support by just taking a sip every once in a while. I will caution you, however, this is the first time it's happened to me, but I did sip on some LLP all day the other day, and that little bit of lemon residue kind of stayed on my lips. And then I spent all day in the bright, bright sunshine soaking up some rays, and I did end up getting a little bit of a burn on my lips that took me a couple days to get over. So be cautious of those citrus oils in the sun. Never hurts to give that reminder. If you learn the hard way, just like me, don't worry, it does go away. But be careful with that lemon oil for sure. So like I said, that's the first time it's happened to me, and I've drank this concoction many, many times, but I don't think I've ever drank it throughout the day and then also spent that much time in the sun. So just make sure you're wearing a big sun hat, or you can, instead of putting LLP in your water, put it in a capsule. Put maybe, if you're new to oils, start with just one drop each of lemon, lavender, and peppermint vitality oils in a capsule. Top that capsule off with olive oil and then consume throughout the day. Up to every 2 to 3 hours is a good dose to use throughout the day. If you've been using oils for a while, like me, I tend to put 3 to 4 drops each of those oils in a capsule, and I put them in a little jar and carry them with me and try to take that every 2 to 3 to 4 hours, just depending on how I'm feeling. Also, try this concoction in your diffuser. It's also a great way to get those oils into your body to help you during these seasonal changes. Today's episode gives us a really great deep understanding into the world of herbalism, how it intersects with the world of essential oils, and will really give us a really deep appreciation for plants. Before we get to the interview, as always, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This week's recipe comes from our winner from the DIY Dugout contest for the month of May. Every month, we love to do a giveaway from the pool of people who have submitted their recipes into our DIY Dugout. This is an ongoing contest, so whenever you submit a recipe to the Dugout, you're in that drawing for life, so long as we do these giveaways. May's winner will receive a bottle of orange vitality oil and our ebook, 25 Plus Oily Recipes for Detoxing Your House and Home. The winner is Kim Zetterberg. Her Instagram handle is Kim_Zetterberg, Zetterberg. The recipe is called Honey Hair Wash. To make the honey hair wash, take a 4-ounce bottle, add enough local honey to cover the bottom, melt down about half of a cocoa butter wafer, and add the melted butter wafer to the bottle. Add a pinch of salt and a teaspoon of aloe vera juice. Then add 1 drop cedarwood, 1 drop lavender, 1 drop rosemary, 1 drop peppermint, and 1 drop orange essential oil. Fill the remainder of the 4-ounce bottle with water and shake before use. There you go. There's the honey hair wash from our May DIY Dugout contest winner, Kim Zetterberg. It's never too late to submit your recipe into the DIY Dugout. We do giveaways every month. Email us your recipe at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. You might have a little extra incentive to get your recipe in before the end of June. On July 1st, we'll be picking winners for our June DIY Dugout contest, and we'll be giving away lots of extra swag, including the iHome Bluetooth diffuser, complete with sound therapy, color therapy, candle effect flicker lights, remote control, and Bluetooth speaker. The June winner will also receive a 100% genuine jade face roller. I've heard amazing reviews about these jade face rollers. They're made from 100% genuine jade. It's supposed to be great for puffiness, bloating, wrinkles, and fine lines. And also, I'm throwing in one of my favorite ever diffuser necklaces. It's a golden globe that you can open like a locket, put in an included ball to drop whatever oils you want on for the day, wear around your neck for a beautiful necklace diffuser. So all of that will be going to our June DIY Dugout contest winner. So make sure to submit your recipes before July 1st to get your name in the pot. Again, email us your recipe at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
I'm here with Heather Irvine, who's the Herbal Academy's herbal mentor and ambassador. For over 10 years, Heather worked as an herbal product maker, running a successful herb business in Vermont, selling products made from plants she grew or gathered herself. Now she's focusing on herbal education for students, consumers, and healthcare practitioners, helping them understand and talk about how herbs work. Heather, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. It's so good to speak with you today.
So Heather, I'm curious about how does aromatherapy and herbalism complement each other? How are they different? Where do they intersect?
Yeah. So in herbalism overall, we use a whole lot of different tools, things like teas, tinctures, powders, foods, infused vinegars, infused oils, and essential oils. And then we make a variety of topical preparations that sometimes combine these things, especially essential oils. And different delivery systems have different benefits. So some of those different delivery systems will sort of extract and also deliver different types of constituents better. So aromatherapy definitely is an important part of the herbalist toolkit. And we know that certain components of essential oils have an almost instantaneous effect on the nervous system, absorbed through the sinuses and also inhaled. And we know that certain components absorbed into the skin seem to have an effect of moving stagnation. That's one thing, at least I personally think that essential oils can be really good at, as well as the aromatherapy aspect paired with it. So I would say aromatherapy can have these instant positive effects on things like mood and concentration and outlook. And then also because people experience that scent, you know, it gives a positive association with it, a little more like gratification with its use. Whereas, you know, just taking some bland herbs or capsules, people might not be so sure if something's happening. So I'd say that aromatherapy can kind of like potentize, you know, an herbal topical formula and certainly can be nicely paired with other types of herbal preparations that might, you know, some of the other types of herbal preparations might work a little bit more gradually.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard something about one of the differences between, say, an essential oil versus maybe a tincture. I mean, even if we're talking about the same plant, so let's say peppermint essential oil versus a peppermint tincture, is the tincture process, which for those unfamiliar, it's essentially where you have that plant kind of soaking in like an alcohol substance and it slowly extracts some properties from that plant. Does that process preserve more of the like vitamins and nutrients of that plant versus the essential oil, which captures more of the, I don't even know what name you would use for it, but you know, is there a difference there in what we're actually kind of capturing in those processes?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really glad you brought that up because that's something I do like to talk about because I've worked with tinctures a lot. So you've, you know, really good point and you've got it like almost exactly right. So with tinctures, or let's say with powders and with teas, we're definitely getting more of sort of the minerals and nutrients from the herb, but you might not get as concentrated of a delivery of sort of the aromatic components. You might kind of experience them a little bit and get some benefit, but not the same way that one would with essential oils or with aromatherapy, you know, some of the aromatherapy specific applications. And then with tinctures, you might get a little bit of nutrients or minerals, but we actually get a lot of something called alkaloids and other constituents. But alkaloids are another type of component that can really affect the nervous system in positive ways pretty immediately too, but still a bit different than essential oils and aromatherapy. So a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also interesting the differences and really it goes to show that plants have so many gifts to give us. And, you know, don't sell yourself short just putting yourself in one box of using one plant one way when your body can use it in all these different ways and benefit from it from all these different ways. I'm curious, the curriculum that you teach at the Herbal Academy, how much do essential oils tie into that curriculum?
Yeah, so we have a whole bunch of different types of courses. Some I'm more involved in, some less, but I can speak to that. And we're always adding more. So there's a course that I'll talk about a little bit more after giving a quick intro to some of our offerings, which is the skincare short course. And that ties in really well, but that's something we're developing. So I'd say that you see essential oils and aromatherapy tied into probably all of our offerings. We have kind of an introductory, intermediate. We have something called the entrepreneurial package and then advanced. And these are things that people can take individually. It's not like a commitment to do all of them. But we also have a couple of, actually more than a couple, we're always developing some specific short courses. So one is the Herbal Self-Care for Stress Management course. That one ties in nicely to the use of essential oils, but people also get lots of information about using teas and tinctures and powders along with those practices. So that would be a really good kind of specific one that I think pairs well. But we're also developing this skincare short course, which will be different than anything we've offered thus far and definitely really hands-on. I find that a lot of the recipes we're developing use essential oils. And it's a very, I might have already said this, but it's basically like a very how-to course, lots of instruction in how to make different things like creams, infused oils, lotions, etc. So that's something that I think people would be pretty excited about and be able to incorporate essential oils into, definitely.
Yeah. Would you mind sharing maybe a favorite recipe that you guys have developed through that course?
So we're all of us, it's super fun. We're like six or seven of us now, like contributing recipes all the time. But I guess I'll share one of mine, which is a rose cream. So this uses typically, there's a few variations, but shea butter and perhaps like a calendula infused oil, because that's really versatile for the skin. And then we might use a little beeswax. That part's sort of optional. But the really lovely part about it is rose water and a little bit of rose essential oil. And, you know, you combine these in a special way, which you learn in the course. It's not a secret, but you combine these into an emulsification.
Sort of like describing how you tie a shoe over audio. It's just not going to make sense.
Yeah, it could be tedious over audio. We're making videos for all of this. So it's a little tedious over audio, but basically you just get a nice sort of light, breathable, but rich, really aromatic cream that's still very gentle for different skin types. So that's one that my customers have loved and that I've loved making. So that will be, I believe that recipe or one like it will be in the course, but there are so many right now, just dozens upon dozens included in that so far.
So fun. Well, I'm really curious. You guys offer so many different offerings. One really struck out at me called Medicinal Actions and Chemistry. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. So that's actually a topic that I have taught separate from the Herbal Academy, but I'm definitely, that's an area where I get to tap into some of the course writing and instruction a little bit. Should I talk about that a little bit, sort of like what that means?
I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah. I always found when talking to people about herbs, and I don't know, we don't really say medicine, but talking about herbs, people are surprised at how much we actually do know a little bit about how herbs work and affect the body. You know, I think some courses or a lot of sort of communities or conversations just kind of take for granted that herbs work. But I like to get a little bit more into, wherever possible, the physiological effects on the body. We don't always know to like the, you know, as much detail as one might like to know, but there are certainly different types of active constituents that we know occur, you know, some of them in more in different families of plants or parts of the plant that interact with our bodies and definitely have medicinal effects. We know, for example, that the aromatic plants have a nice interaction at the sinuses and olfactory bulb with the nervous system. We know nervine plants that we might use as tinctures have these great alkaloids, definitely medicinal they're the foundation of a lot of the conventional medicines, actually. And then, you know, we know that some of these herbs that we've traditionally used as powders in foods are both really nutritive, but then are also sort of set themselves apart from foods by having some really specific beneficial effects on like the endocrine system, nervous system, et cetera. So, yeah.
I think a lot of people forget sometimes that most of our modern medicine has come from plants. You know, the scientists have discovered a certain property or a certain chemical component in a plant or herb or part of nature, and then sort of extracted that and worked and tinkered with that in a laboratory to create medicine. So it's interesting that a lot of people do get very surprised when they start learning about the research and what we know about how herbs work on the body. And just the other day, I'm a little obsessed with Quora. I don't know if you're familiar with this website.
I do know it. Yeah.
Or, yeah. People just like to ask a random question and anyone can answer it. And someone the other day was asking, why are so many people using essential oils when there's not a lot of scientific evidence that says that they work? Which I thought was an interesting question because, I mean, for one, there is quite a bit of research done, but also at the same time, there's never going to be a ton of these big mass scale scientific studies done on essential oils or herbalism or any of these things, because frankly, you can't patent this stuff. So there's just not enough money involved to do that kind of thing. That's sort of my perspective on it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's actually like so exactly close to how I explain it often. And I have a little phrase that just because you haven't seen the research doesn't mean it doesn't exist. because I think a lot of people kind of jump to a conclusion that it's not scientifically validated, that there's no research. And it is true what you're saying, is that because there's not as big of an industry for it, there won't be quite the magnitude of research. But we certainly see scientific studies and more even the NIH is doing some studies that basically point to these plants or constituents in them having the actions that traditional medicine has suggested all along. So absolutely. Yeah.
I'm back with Heather Irvine, one of the Herbal Academy's lead herbal mentors and ambassadors. And we're talking all about herbalism and the fascinating world of plant medicine. So Heather, I'm curious, do you have like a favorite fun fact about plants that the common person might not know?
Well, there's a lot that I might think of to say, but for some reason, the first thing that pops into my mind is something I learned in the past year. So in plant physiology, you know, you learn that plants respond to different things in their environment and all that. And it sort of like sparked my interest that this like medicinal herbalism could be a real thing. So in the last year, however, I was at this lecture by a woman who's a Native American woman, and she's both an ecologist and also really involved with her tribe. She told this story about how there's a specific berry that elders would tell everyone when they're learning to stand downwind from it, because they said the plant could smell you and it would be scared of you and the berries would be bitter. So she learned this and she thought, okay, well, that's great. I'll do that when they're watching. But, you know, if I'm just trying to pick some berries, I'm just going to do what I want to. So she found that actually one time when she was picking, after she was picking, that these berries were bitter, whereas they were usually sweet. And then she actually found some research that the plant, the shrub, is able to actually pick up on our pheromones and change the flavor, change the chemistry of its berry from sweet and sugary to bitter and unpleasant. So that was pretty, I don't know, that kind of like blew me away. But it also is points to the fact that plants, we respond to, we can smell and detect certain things about plants, and they can detect certain things about us. And I think that part of the reason that plants can do something in the body beyond food is based on this kind of like evolutionary dance between animals and plants. So yeah.
So fascinating. Yeah. And I wonder like why some plants are more sensitive to this, you know, than others. Well, I guess that's kind of rude of me to say. Not all plants are the same, right? Let's not treat them all the same. But it's interesting. That reminds me of the story of, I don't know if you're familiar at all with the Young Living Farms, but where they grow a lot of the plants to make their essential oils. Their Melissa farm, I know that the employees are forbidden to curse around the plants, or like if they're having a bad day or have a negative attitude, they're asked to like, please don't come in today, because the melissa plant is so sensitive to picking up on those negative energies. And then when they harvest it, when they cut the plant to bring it to the distillation place, it's not allowed to touch the ground. So uh-huh. they have to sort of like carry it on these stretchers. So yeah, that reminds me of just how much we don't know about plants still, or kind of take for granted how just intellectual they are.
Yeah. I mean, there are some studies that show that the plants, even perhaps after they're picked, can respond to things. And also, it sounds like a nice work environment.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to work on that farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an interesting to be an employee to wake up in the morning and have to ask yourself, am I happy enough to go to work today?
Yeah.
So speaking of essential oils a little bit more, Heather, do you have any personal favorite ways that you use essential oils in your life?
Mine are sort of simplistic, to be honest, but I definitely use them. And mine are maybe a little bit like more in like the practical or first aid realm. So I, early on as an herbalist, learned lavender diluted slightly for burns, or even a mist for sunburn, which would be slightly diluted in another oil.
See, that's interesting. Yeah. I've always heard that for a burn or like a sunburn, you would not want to dilute it with a carrier oil, because that carrier oil would trap the heat in more.
Yeah.
That's what I've always heard.
You know, conventionally, I've definitely learned that about oils. And then for some reason, lavender has seemed like, at least for my own use, like a little bit of an exception to that. So that's true. But I found that just the quality of the lavender, if you can get a light enough oil to put it in, can be really soothing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't put a like crappy store bought lavender on your burn, because it could have chemicals in it that could turn that into a much worse burn. I mean, I've heard this happen many times.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely to, you know, maybe like test an area and just see how it responds to you personally. But I also use that herb. I guess I use that herb a lot. I use it for like blemishes and things like that. I have pretty oily skin, so not all oils really agree with me, but this is one that I've liked as like a compress for redness, blemishes, little like outdoor mysterious rashes, things of that nature. I also really like rose because it's very gentle. And then there's one that's kind of like an outlier from these really, I guess, really common ones, which is helichrysum. And that one I found nice for some of the same applications, but then also for certain herbal clients as sort of an aromatherapy item and emotional fortifier. I believe we also call it immortal. Is that, does that sound right to you?
Yes, I've heard it called that as well. Yeah, helichrysum is such a fascinating plant for sure. I think if I could raise my hand and put a bunch of money into research, it would be like, let's research this one a little more, because it seems like there's so much to it.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad I hit on one that stands out for you as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one. Well, Heather, this has been so much fun getting to know you and getting to know the Herbal Academy a little bit more. I'm sure that a lot of the people listening would want to learn a little bit more about the courses you offer. Maybe someone who's passionate about essential oils and wanted to take their education to the next level. Do you offer anything that would be a good fit for them?
Definitely. Yeah. So I'm so glad you asked about that. I'm going to mention, we have a few items, we have more than a few, but a few I definitely want to mention here. I want to mention first something that's free and I think will actually be really appealing. It is our essential oil guide, and you can find that on our blog. I'll read the URL, but I would also suggest if you just put in Herbal Academy essential oil guide, you'll find it. It's at theherbalacademy.com/the-ultimate-essential-oils-guide/. And so this is actually more than just a little web page that you might happen upon on your own otherwise. I find that it's got some really great articles written by some of our herbalists or herbalists who are allied with us. There's a great little kind of terms and safety, and then a source that goes even deeper into safety. We have an item on the pharmacodynamics and pharmacokinetics of essential oils. So that is sort of how they absorb into and the action on the body. I remember seeing a resource on there about using essential oils for children. vocabulary and safety items. We're really big on vocabulary, and we're basically a bunch of herbalists who also love to write. So we're really big on vocabulary and as well as safety. So that's something I would love people to check out, and it's free. And it'll give you a taste of sort of what's offered on our blog. It's sort of associated with the herbarium. And then the herbarium is something that I really love having access to as a contributor. I also use it for my own purposes. So it's sort of an herb by herb encyclopedia with these extensive plant monographs authored really carefully by a different herbalist who's passionate about each plant. So in that, it's not essential oil centered, although you'll typically find a little bit of information about aromatherapy and a lot of information of history of use, safety, sort of, you know, where the plant is from and ways of using it. So that's a really great source that kind of stands on its own. And with that, you get articles that are really carefully crafted and new all the time. And then we also have, there's so much. there's a Materia Medica. It's called the Herbal Materia Medica course. And in this, you learn many plants in depth. The information is not always exactly the same for essential oils as the other plant preparations. I mean, it wouldn't be exactly the same, but when in learning a plant in depth, you get a bit of both. And you also create your own Materia Medica so students can kind of concentrate on some areas that are most exciting to them. And then, you know, I did mention the stress management course and the herbal skincare course, which is in development and coming soon. I think that one would be really applicable.
What I really like about a lot of these courses that you're mentioning is that it really helps someone get to know the plants on so many different levels, which I think is just a very honorable way to approach herbalism and essential oils. I mean, I think sometimes even myself, I can kind of take for granted how easy it is to just pick up a bottle of lemon or lavender or cedarwood and just, oh, you know, this is my oil in a bottle. But to take the time to actually really learn about that plant, you know, where it comes from and all the different gifts that it can give and just honor it in that way, I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, that is a really good point. And I'm, as you say that, I'm kind of like visualizing myself sometimes when I'm working on creating the monographs, because I might think that I know a plant really well. And then I get into like, where is it native to? How is it named? And I find myself like spending part of a day, like in my mind, like in this plant's ancient history. So it's really cool. Right. And we try to bring forth all of that information for the students. And then also really try to be careful that we put a lot of care into doing our best to make sure the information is accurate too. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, great work. Well, this has just been wonderful, Heather. It's been a pleasure getting to know you more. Before you go, we'd love to ask you our closing questions.
Sure.
The first one, just a simple glimpse into what your daily health habits look like.
Yeah. So it might be surprising. I don't have like a really like rigorous routine, but I guess we could say it's all, you know, different depending on like people's constitution, you know, we need different things. So I try to just make sure I get some kind of movement every day. I really like to run or do something outdoors. But I would say with that, if we're talking about herbs, I like the spicy, warming, and moving herbs and oils and things. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like cinnamon.
Yeah.
Clove,
yeah. Those kinds. Absolutely. That's what gets me going.
Nice. Well, finally, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
Yeah. So again, I'm not totally dogmatic about like, you must get rid of this thing, because I think people are all coming from kind of a different sort of starting point. But I do think that any moves towards a whole foods diet are generally positive. So I think that sometimes people worry that if they cut out something that's been like a staple in their diet or the way that they were brought up to eat, that they're not going to be getting something that they need. You know, usually it's protein that people are afraid they're not getting enough of. But there's so much variety in foods and ways of preparing them that I think that there are so many ways to get nutrition or, you know, get our nutritional needs and more. So I don't know. I'm into whole foods, dark greens, legumes, and all that. So I just think any kind of move, any kind of gradual moves towards a more whole foods diet are positive.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great step. And you have such a great approach to not having those staunch lines that you draw in the sand. That's really important. Do you have a favorite recipe, like a whole foods recipe that someone could whip out real quickly if they're exploring this?
Well, I'll be super simple. I love to make meals with tahini as a seasoning. It's like a sesame kind of, I don't know, paste butter. And I find it gives you like a little bit of the sort of like maybe like umami flavor that we like.
Right, yeah.
So I like to be really simple and just like take some grains and it doesn't even have to be anything unusual. It could be rice. Some really dark vegetables like kale or sweet potatoes and kale and carrots. And then, you know, maybe an additional protein, whatever types of protein people are choosing. If they're carnivores, omnivores, vegetarian, all of that's fine. But let's just say I'm going to use like tempeh or white beans or something and basically just prepare the protein, combine the nice greens and vegetables, and then this tahini or gamasio topping. So that's like sesame seeds and a little bit of dulse seaweed kelp and a little bit of spice. Like I like a little cayenne. It's just very simple and it's also very satisfying.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Heather. We will put all the links for people to check out the different courses at the Herbal Academy and whatnot in the show notes below this episode. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us here today on the Essential Oil Revolution.
Absolutely. It was a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. As always, you can find the show notes below wherever you're listening to this podcast or catch them at revolutionoilspodcast.com. Don't forget, we are taking submissions now through the end of June 2019 for our special DIY dugout giveaway. Get your name into the pot and you'll have a chance to win a beautiful Bluetooth speaker diffuser, a gorgeous diffuser necklace, and an amazing jade face roller. Just email us your favorite DIY recipe that uses essential oils to DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from or your website or Instagram handle. All recipes must be your own original recipes. Again, email us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com with your recipe. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.